But lately, as it's been for the last couple of months or so, I'd have you turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 while we're getting set up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a little preface. And it was, I woke up early. Well, I woke up just to let Polly out at 3 this morning, but I woke up with this on my heart while I was waiting for her. I didn't understand why. And just now during worship, I felt like the Lord was showing me that last week we talked about a time that would come of a great falling away. And again, it's not the individuals here at Calvary Chapel that I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about every God-fearing, God-believing, and Bible-believing church that exists today. We're seeing less and less of the fellowship that our Lord, you know, if anything was ever made mandatory, I think he did it. And I just see that I'm concerned for the flock that God has put me in charge of. I've put 40 plus years of my life to this. And it's not about me, it's about the individuals in this church or ones who are listening on the, whatever it is, the internet, that this is a time where we need to knuckle down more than we ever have in our Christian lives. If you're at 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul makes a statement, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly," and indeed, bear with me is what he's saying there. Or you do bear with me, and I know that all these years I've been up here, you've borne my folly at times. And today is one of those days. I almost felt like I told Pat, be praying. I don't know how God is going to tie the words together that I've been feeling on my heart all week long. So bear with me, as Paul asked. And the reason why he asked that is because he said, "For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy." It's not to fill the seats. It's not to fill the coffer. It's not so we have 3,000 people. I've jokingly said, I beg God, don't put any more people in here. I can hardly manage what we got. You know, and that's not meant to be funny. That's serious to watch and to care over individual souls. I mean, it's draining at times. Other times it's so uplifting that I don't even feel like my feet are on the ground. But I'm jealous over those at Calvary Chapel. I'm jealous over my family who might be watching this morning on the tube back in New York, that some preacher isn't jealous over you, that he's not watching for your soul, that he's not asking why we should be increasing instead of decreasing at a time like this. "For I've espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And I pray I've done that over the years to show each and every one of us, whether here present at Calvary or another church, there is no other name under heaven by which a man or a woman must be saved. Amen. I am, Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life. No man, add woman in that, comes to the Father except through the Son. I pray that that has been my message over and over and over. And if I repeat myself in that, praise God. "But I fear," in verse 3, "least by any means, whatever it might be, science, somebody else talking to you, your own thoughts, my own thoughts." Paul's saying, "I fear by any means. As a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." And that's an important word. I don't know what you have in some of your translations. "Should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is so simple, our faith. There are people out there, both in the pulpit and out there outside of the churches, trying to make this real hard for each and every person who just wants to believe, trust, and obey. I'm jealous because you might be corrupted. That word corrupted in the Greek is not a moral corruption that we're all going to turn into a bunch of drug addicts and drunks and, you know, watching perversion. That's not what it is. It's not a moral corruption. It's an intelligent, intellectual cunning that the enemy is using, ending in a spiritual apostasy, moving away from the God who saved us, maybe even questioning him. Why did he put that in there, that as the serpent beguiled Eve? It wasn't a moral corruption. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the firm foundation that I even stand on, that with this time that we're in, it's shaking it. Now, I'm hoping and praying that God is the one, because he promised I will shake everything that can be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. I'm concerned about the time we're in right now. So somehow that's going to fit into today's message as the Spirit of God moves on your heart when you ask him, why is that there? Why did we go to that this morning? I hope we don't play Bible roulette and just pull out these guys. The songs, when I read these songs, it's everything that God's been putting in my heart all week long, and I never ask you what song you're going to play so I can add into that in the sermon. I pray that these words go along this week with whatever you're going to endure, what you're having to walk through, that God somehow is going to get a firm foundation and standing in each and every one of us through his word, which, you know, the science of everything today is changing weekly. I mean, I read an article, it changes in a week. I hear something on the tube, it changes within a week. I hear somebody saying something, it changes. God said that my word will not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to, I mean, it's up to you, your walk of faith, it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You do what you need to do, not what Doug might be saying from the pulpit here. The only thing that I'd really try to insist on is if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ today, don't wait for tomorrow to see what happens and transpires. You and I need to have that firm foundation because everything else will be shaken. It's gonna crumble. Not that I'm saying it or prophesying something. God said this. So that's the one thing that I'm in fear of today for both those of us who are here at Calvary Chapel and those of us, you know, that are outside these walls. And I hope that we can see through today's text that there is a hope a whole lot more than a distancing and a mask and a vaccine and all these things. There's something that we better grab hold of today. Hold on to it. Make sure that we get injected with this over everything else. So I'd have us to turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Thank you for bearing. You and Tom keep track of me, don't you? It's a good thing somebody's watching for me. 2012. Good gravy. So it took me 8 years to get to this point. I hope we all last long enough to get to Revelation, you know? Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2012.
2012. Christmas.
Where we left off last week, Paul was instructing Timothy, and we always get our insight from what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was instructing others of. It comes down to us today, but he was instructing Timothy on the characteristics and behaviors that were to be watched for in these last days. And if they were last days, when Paul was talking about it, as I know you're well taught enough, we are in those last days, and it's ever increasing today. But you know, as we look at those behaviors, I don't know about you, but you look at those, or you look at what's happening out there in this world, doesn't your heart sink a little bit? You know, it's like, my goodness, what is going on? So as we observe these behaviors, and this is where I've been this week, I felt like the Lord was showing me this. There's really two outcomes as we both read this and observe it being manifest out there. There's really two, there's probably more you can say. You know, a third one I was thinking of today was just say, oh, what the heck? Who cares? You know, but that's not the way to be with life, is it? So there's two basic outcomes as we read this and we see the time that we are in right now, not so much Paul and Timothy. The two outcomes as we observe these behaviors is one, we become, remember, do you have a note there on the 3D sermon? Do you remember that? Depressed, despondent, detached. You get this, just this overwhelming, what was it?
Disillusion.
The one outcome, watching everything that's going on around us, is that it's very easy to get a little despondent, depressed, detached from the world. What can I do? I can't do anything. Those emotions that run through us. But then God showed me where I was over these last few weeks, and where I shouldn't be, was in despair or despondency, detaching myself from some things around myself. He was showing me that I should be ever dependent upon Him. Evermore, as I see these things, that I should look to the Lord and be even more dependent on Him and His word and His promises than I have ever been. 40 years ago, some of you know my life, I was ready to take it myself because the world couldn't do me in for some reason. So I was ready to do it myself, but the Lord came and just snatched me from that. And I'm looking, and I can tell stories of every one of you that are in that same spot. I want to have my heart burning like it was the day that I knew, that I knew, that I knew that I was going to live eternally with my Lord and Savior. The government didn't tell me that. An administration didn't tell me that. News reports didn't tell me that. Science only told me I was going to die anyhow. Basically, the Lord told me, you are going to live eternally. That's my promise. I want that back again. Somehow that got taken from me. Somehow I've allowed some of the garbage that goes on, which has been going on, I've allowed that to affect my relationship with my Lord. If you fit into those shoes, let's take a walk, okay? So how do we do what we just heard? How do we get it going again? We look at verses 1-7 by itself. Like I said, that's where we were last week. That's pretty bleak, isn't it? That's pretty depressing. But as Paul Harvey used to say, and now for the end of the story, Paul didn't leave us there, nor did the Holy Spirit leave us in verses 1-7. Praise God, yeah? Because like I said, that's pretty bleak. That's pretty depressing. Where's the hope? What's the sense? What's the point? The Holy Spirit inserted, I feel, for encouragement. At least it encouraged me, and I hope I can get it out in the time we have. I hope verses 8 and 9, I mean, he just stuck that in there. All of a sudden, after 40 years of looking at this stuff, I really looked at that, and I said, I've never contemplated verses 8 and 9. Why did you put that in there, Lord? And I felt, you know, I'm not saying you felt a hand and a hand, didn't you? I felt the Lord saying, I put that in there for you so that you'd realize that that is not the end of the story, that there's more to come. So what I want to do is try to break that down. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. So we went through the whole list of characteristics and behaviors that we are seeing in an ever-increasing amount these days. He left off in 7 with, just never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There is so much learning out there, but what is the truth? An age-old question. The truth is Jesus Christ, if we're a believer. If you're not a believer, then that's foolishness to you. And that's, again, why I'm asking you, please consider Jesus Christ. Look into Him. So he puts in, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these being the ones in verses 1-7, those characteristics or behaviors, as these withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. See, it's not a problem with our parents or our economic, social condition. It's not a problem with my habits. My problem, if I'm not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, is I am resisting the truth, period. That's what God is saying. Either we don't want to know that truth, either we don't want to leave what we consider a not bad lifestyle right now, or we've been deceived not to follow any instruction of God's truth. So these behaviors, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood and resisted the truth, they were men of corrupt minds, it says, reprobate. Reprobate means no judgment. And not, we judge people. That's not mean. It means no judgment. They're not thinking about what's going on. Critical thinking, rational, logic. We're not taking the time to really sit. We just go with the flow concerning the faith, not anything else. But they shall, now this verse 9 is the one that jumped out, and I hope I get it. But they shall proceed no further. How does yours say it in the...
But they will not get very far.
They will not get very far. Anything else? Does somebody else have one there?
They will not make further progress.
They will not...
Make further progress.
What is he talking? I hope I get my heart out to yours, because these times are depressing. These times are despairing. These times are bringing us down. But what God is telling us, these people... And these times will proceed no further. All of a sudden, I woke up in my room. I didn't wake up because I was sleeping. It was like, Lord, you're telling me, stop sweating the small stuff. All the stuff we see isn't going to come to anything. He's got the plan. He's got a plan for you and you and you. I know the thoughts I think towards you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil and an expected end. What happened to that? Oh my gosh, am I going to die? Oh my gosh, is this going to happen? Oh my God. Yeah, that's what we're doing, even if it's not verbalized. God's saying, slow down. These things that are weighing you down are not going to proceed any further than actually he will let them proceed. For their folly will be manifest unto all men, as also theirs was. Jannes and Jambres. Huh. So who knows who Jannes and Jambres was? Way to go, guys. Just in case we don't, and that's not a knockdown. They're never mentioned in the Bible, are they? If you've searched it. But turn to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Jannes and Jambres, as these guys were exposed and their folly, it says that it won't proceed any further. So that's my firm foundation, if you would, on, gee, what's going on right now around me, what's going on in my head, which eventually is going to trickle down into my heart and probably work its way out in my feet and hands and everything, it's not going to gain a lick, is what my Lord is saying. Why am I getting so worried? Why am I getting so upset and uptight? I mean, some people out there right now are ready to smack you in the nose because your mask isn't up on your nose. What is happening? What's happening? That folly, just go with it, okay? Wear a stinking mask. You know, most of you know I am not one to wear a mask, have I? Or a filter, as some people, you have no filter, Doug. No, God didn't give me that. So I went to Home Depot and I got one. Well, I'm going to wear it. Because right now I'm supposed to obey the authorities that are above me. I don't like it. I used to be a cop and made sure people obeyed the rules one way or the other. But I'm going to do it because I'm a Christian now, and my God says to obey all authorities over me. Pray for the kings and those that are in those positions over me. I don't like it a lick, but I don't want to answer to the Lord. What, you didn't like it, Doug? Am I putting myself above God? I hope not. So who was Jannes and Jambres? These two bozos that God eventually put a stop to. In verse 11 of chapter 7, it says, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. What do you have for sorcerers in the living, Ma?
Sorcerers.
Oh, sorcerers, okay. Now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Jewish tradition brings out, their names aren't mentioned, but Jewish tradition says that Jannes and Jambres were these two court jesters that came out there and performed counterfeit miracles, of which we have to watch today because Satan is an expert counterfeiter. Everything that God does or has done, Satan has a counterfeit for. The only thing that Satan cannot counterfeit is from death to life. Every one of us were in that position, and God has quickened us or given us life, is what the word says. They couldn't produce that. I'd encourage you, read 7, 8, 9 to find out about these counterfeit miracles, how foolish they were. All they really did, these guys, well, there was frogs, right? Well, they made more frogs, and there was locusts, and they made more locusts. All they did was make the situation worse. An awful lot like what's going on today, isn't it? Just making the situation a whole lot worse. But where I got my encouragement in verse 9, where it said, their folly will not proceed any further. They're not going to make it. It's going to come to no effect. Look at verse, oh, I guess it's 18. I won't do all 7, 8 because I'm almost out of time now. 18 of chapter 8. Says, and the magicians, Jannes and Jambres, the guys that we're focusing in on today, so what does that do for my spirit, for my insides? God is saying, Doug, the magicians did so. Everything that was going on with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon men and upon beasts. So they couldn't perform this. They couldn't do what only God could do, and that's to bring life from death, number one. And what was interesting that how I got to this, it's got to be God. Verse 19 says, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Even the deceivers, even the counterfeiters, even the things that are going on that have nothing to do with Christ, that are it's eventually going to be exposed. Eventually, God will get acknowledged, and I want him to get acknowledged in my life today while I'm still alive, breathing, speaking, talking, walking around, shedding some hope and some grace and some mercy. These guys, counterfeiters, had to admit it was God. It'd be a whole lot easier to admit it's God right now who's going to save us than it will be on that day when there won't be any second chance of salvation. This is the finger of God. In a sense, our New Testament says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And that's what these two, Jannes and Jambres, did. And we're going to bow and we're going to confess one way or the other. Our knees will bow one day and it's going to be, yes, you are my Lord and my Savior. Or with those same bended knees, it's going to be, you are my judge and my jury. And then our eternal destiny will be set, never to be changed by some magician, some foolishness, some subtleties that we know are going on all around us. Let's go to 2 Timothy again, if we would. As you're turning back there, I thought it was very interesting too. You know, so we got Jannes and Jambres, and that's also part of my position as a preacher, I guess, is to be a teacher. And I really didn't know who Jannes and Jambres were in the beginning either. And it's right there in our word if we kept digging. So either it was Jewish tradition that revealed that to Paul, or it was divine revelation that gave Paul those names. Which one do you want to choose? I'll go for both of them. I think people talked about it, but I think divine revelation, anybody ever have God tell you something? A word of knowledge? Do you ever have something given to you that didn't exist before? Didn't know, but all of a sudden it becomes real, and that's what God is trying to give to us. There were three sets of names mentioned in this book that we're in right now. It was another thing that I saw this week. Three sets of two men that we just read over. That, remember Phygellus and Hermogenes? Those two guys, they were in chapter 1, verse 15, they were ashamed of the truth. We're talking about truth now, remember, the simplicity of the time that we're in and our relationship to God. Well, here was this group of men that went about subverting other people, but they were ashamed of the truth. Phygellus and Hermogenes. There was Hymenaeus and Philetus. Remember them in 17 and 18 of chapter 2. Those guys erred from the truth. Did they do it on purpose? Were they deceived? I don't know. And then there's Janus and Jambres who resisted the truth. Those are the same classes of individuals that we are dealing with right now. People who are ashamed of the truth, people who have erred from the truth, and people who have resisted, even though everything has been placed in front of them. That God loves you. God loves us. God has a plan for us. What we're seeing today is not the end of it. God has something much, much greater ahead for those that love him. This is the same list, and I'm going to take this one for time if I can. Romans 1. This is a very similar list, if you've ever gone through Romans, that Paul made clear back. When were we in Romans? We read this stuff years ago. 2008, you got that wrong. Good. Good grief. We better get moving, huh? We're getting out of here before we finish the book. I hate not finishing the end of a book. Romans 1, same list almost. And I think God is trying to get our ears perked up a little bit. Let's just look at 16. Because in this, in 16 is those that were ashamed. In 18 through 21, we have the ones who err from the truth. And 25 through 32 are the ones that resist the truth. So let me fly through this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are we? Or are we not? I'm not, I barely have a high school education. But I'm not ashamed to tell this knowledge to anybody. I don't need a letter or a bunch of letters after my name. I'm not knocking that. But that truth can't be taught. That has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I pray for each and every one of us in the time that we're in that we will take a stand. If that's what you guys think, God bless you. You know, go with it and we obey. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For where? The gospel, the good news. Therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just will live by science. The just will live by faith. And I'm not, you know, not all science is bad. Trust, you know, I believe in a lot of it. I don't believe in the stuff that changes every single week, though. That gives me a little bit of perplexity. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. We all know we're without excuse, that God has something else for each and every one of us, for the invisible things of him. See, we watch so much of the, what does the word say? The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. And everything that we're seeing, I think, is robbing some of us of the eternity that is going to be our destiny. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Do you see what's, I mean, this has increased. This goes right along with 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. Professing themselves to be wise. This is our God saying this to help us, not to knock anything. But they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth, verse 25, of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than creator who is blessed forever. I mean, Paul, I'm seeing him going, amen. Amen. And you know, when I was looking at this, on comes the news that night, Pat and I were watching. If you don't think that's happening, I watched a $5 million bridge in Colorado finally constructed and opened, not for cars, not for bikes, not for pedestrians, but so that the wildlife could cross over the highway safely. Praise God. There's nothing worse than hitting an elk or a deer out on I-70 in the middle of the night. You know, I have a little animosity against moose, but they, you know, there's moose that cross over that thing. We spent $5 million on that, and we're killing babies. Amen. What's going on? What is going on? They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiping the creatures more than the creator. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of their women, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseeming and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. I don't know if I've got to expound on that, do I? God said it. He means it. And that's a time we're in right now that this is taking over. Amen. And even as they do not like to retain God or acknowledge him as, you know, a nice way, means keeping him in my mind foremost, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters. Hey, I'm the governor of, I forget where he is, but you guys, you don't need to go to church to pray. I pray. This is what this man said on national TV. I hope some of you saw. You don't need to go to church to pray. I walk around out in the woods and pray. I could pray anywhere. You don't need to go to church. Heaven forbid he said that about a Muslim mosque. He's talking to us as Christians, and it's taking effect on us. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little worked up, and I don't want to inject my own opinion on any of this. This has got to be said with force, though. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's something that I can't say enough. We've got to instill in our children to be loving to their parents. God desires this. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They consent or they approve. I asked people to go home and read Romans 1 last week when we were in that section. We've heard it today. I feel it's a plea from God showing us where we are today. If we don't see any of this happening, we're walking around with our eyes closed. If we do see these things happening, then we have to go back to 2 Timothy. I better draw it to a close, and this will be part two. These are signs, these are behaviors, these are characteristics. So where is my encouragement as I started in the beginning? Where's the encouragement for the time that we're living in? And I think it's right there in 9. But they shall proceed no further. All that stuff that we just read, the emotions that it brings up in every one of us. Some of us, if you're anything like me, and you would admit it, I think you've even gotten angry at times, haven't you? What is going on? How could this be happening? How can people be so stupid? I mean, that's when Pat shuts the TV off and tells me, go to my room and do a little bit of reading and come back in a couple minutes. And I do, and I'm, okay, thank you, you know. Just breathe. Just breathe. And that's a hard word for me, because that's all we kept saying to Dee at the end was, baby, just breathe. Just breathe, with a stinking tube down her throat and everything. And I'm hearing God tell me, Doug, just breathe. Just breathe. Dee's birthday this past Wednesday was Teddy, who used to sit there. It was his birthday. I'm asking God, what the heck's going on? All this lawlessness, all of these fools are going off and getting positions and doing stuff. And why this? It shouldn't be like this. And that's where he led me to 9. Doug, they'll proceed no further, and their folly is going to be manifest one day. It's not up to you, though, to figure it out. Doug, it's not up to you to correct it. It's not up to you to go out there and try to stop. You know, back when I was a real hippie. Back then, we were hippies. But I wasn't a peace-loving kind of hippie. I wanted to blow up all government buildings. So if you guys are listening, that was my attitude back then. But that's not it anymore. I want to just breathe. I want to just realize that God is telling me, Doug, I've got this. I'm going to take care of this. They're not going to go where your little mind is thinking it's going to all go. It's going to be much better. I want to believe that again. I'm going to leave us with, to finish this up next week, though, what I really felt God was asking me, where's my focus? Where's my focus? And lately I wake up in the morning and I want to see Hunter Biden get so ripped, I can't believe it. And I'm thinking, why do I want that? Why do I want to see that? Why would be? That's just the flesh, isn't it? If he's dirty, he's going to show it. And he's going to pay eventually. If he doesn't do it here, it's going to be at the throne. Amen. Gee, I wanted my guy in. I didn't want the other guy in. What am I going to do about it? Just go along with it until that time comes. It's either going to proceed no further. God just said that, not Doug. Or at the throne. It'll be taken care of. So God is telling me, just breathe. Just slow down. Doug, where's your focus? So I'll leave us with that. Where's your focus? Is it on the world and the things that are happening out there that I don't think we really know. I don't think we really know the extent of it. I think we know what they allow us to be spoon-fed as it comes down the pike. I think we're allowed to hear certain things we shouldn't probably even be aware of. Just think of how revved up your pastor is now. Can you imagine if I really knew what was going on? Just breathe. Where's your focus, Dougie? Is it on the world and those things that are right here on this plane? Or am I looking up? Am I looking up? Am I counting on Jesus to pull me through this? Are you counting on him to pull you through this? What's going to happen? I don't know. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den, wasn't he? Think that bothered him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chucked into a fiery furnace. They said, so what? If God gets us out of this, he'll get us out of it. If not, he's still God. I pray none of us get it to the point of death. But so what? God is going to bring us through this. And I saw the one thing that Daniel did do was that he prayed. And when the angel came to him, that angel said what? Daniel, oh man of God, oh Nate, oh Dawn, Brandon, Diane, I want to name every one of us, oh you men or women of God, the first time you lifted up your voice in prayer, God heard you. But Satan has withstood us for these last 21 days. They were in a spiritual battle trying to force through there. And what happened in those? The outcomes were pretty good, weren't they? So I think God is trying to tell us, just pray, just breathe, slow down. Where's your focus? Get your eyes back on me. Be watching what's going on. That is very important, what's happening. But don't look at that as that's the end. And next week will be the rest of the story. Father God, help us. Help us put all this together If we hear one thing, Father, it's that we need to trust and obey you, however that might show, that it is better to trust in the Lord than in an arm of flesh. And your promises to us, Father, are yea and amen. So help us to be looking up. Help us to hold dear those promises you made to each and every one of us, Lord. And may we each, in one way or another, just like Jenny, if we don't hear your voice, may we feel your hands on us. Just saying peace. Peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship our Lord.